This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture's PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation, 10 plus years in the games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us for this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes, Spotify and other podcast services, except for this episode, but Ryan will explain in a minute. If you'd like to join us in future conversations, please join us on Facebook, Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon. At patreon.com/popculturists, head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
If you support us on Patreon, you can watch us record this show live whenever we do it over that weekend. However, as we said, not this week. You're watching it now, which means you probably didn't see it live because it wasn't available, because what we're discussing today
We're not streaming
is
this one,
embargoed. It's very secret stuff. It's actually NDA'd. Is what it is. But if you support us at any dollar value, usually...
Are you sure we're not broadcasting? Like 100%.
100%.
100%.
100%. Okay. Next thing. Beep. No. Oh, God. But if you support us at any dollar value, you get a nice little sneaky link where you can watch us record this show, and you can also watch us record our wrestling show, The Young and the Wrestlers. If you want to support us in more once-off fashion, though, head over to popculturist.com/shopping, buy shirts like this and other assorted shit with our logos on it. We are also on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturists. Now, excuse me, Josh, I may be yelling because my ears are still ringing because I am an old man and I went to a metal concert.
Yeah, that's a bad idea, Ryan.
See, this thing. So last night I went to a band called Static X, a band that I've been a fan of since I was 13 years old. Mm-hmm. Singer's dead, very weird. But
they still performed.
Yeah, it was impressive.
The power of metal. Yeah.
It was like Weekend at Bernie's, just this rotting. Yeah. It really fits the persona of the music. Yeah. So I went and saw them.
Surprise, everyone. We've got Wayne here. Just pulls the curtain down.
Stank. So I was with a band called Wednesday 13, who's the singer of, was best known for singer of Murder Dolls and being Wednesday 13, and then Dope, another sort of newish, I guess industrial metal is probably where they sort of fit.
I don't like these little subgenres. Yeah. It's just metal.
This you want to know some stories about how I'm fucking old? I walked in, you know, with a bunch of people around me. I'm like, past the little like place where you put your bags, and like earplugs, $2. I'm like, earplugs. Should I? No, I shouldn't.
You went back and bought earplugs.
No, I didn't. I wish I did though. So I wandered back in, and then there's like the stage, and then there's this, off to the left of the stage, there's like almost like bleachers, right? Like high school. I'm like, somewhere to sit. So here, like,
considered earphones. Looked for the seating area.
It was great. It was actually really funny. So like,
asked the production manager, can you just turn it down?
As I sit there and a bunch of other older people, like that are old, like even older than me, I'm like,
oh no.
Oh no. These are my people. So the best thing about it, because we're kind of off, we're off a little bit to the left, so we could still see everything, but the speakers were facing inwards, so they didn't blast directly at us, which is a good thing, because I'm old man. But my ears still hurt, and my throat still hurts, because I made the decision. I'm like, because like, I don't know, I know like a couple of songs of Dope, and I know some Wednesday 13 songs, but he didn't play those ones. So yeah. I kind of sat there in quiet, like, yeah.
That's a good beat. Mm, yeah.
Woo. And then when Static X man, I'm like, yeah, God, with Static X. Just like wreck my voice out.
He's like, where's your cold? You're like, I'm a bit cold.
I'm a bit cold. Wish I bought a cardigan. Yeah, where's that blanket?
And the earplugs. And the knitted scarf from grandma.
It was absolutely amazing. It was very cool. Because this will be the last time they ever do it. I think it's kind of they do have an album coming out later in the year, which makes me excited. But I talked about Static X on fucking Young and the Restless like 15 minutes too. So
I forgot that next month or the month after, Parkway and Killswitch are playing together in Melbourne.
What?
Yeah.
The tickets?
It was announced like in March, and I'm like, I'm going to that, and I forgot.
I think you and I shared the picture. We're like, oh, you want to go? I'm like, yep. And neither of us did anything about it.
Killswitch to Melbourne. 2019, 20. Sorry, everybody.
No, this is
important.
It was funny. So Dylan Blight from the Explosion Network, we're doing a show together is that the one? That's not the one.
What the fuck is this?
That's the Alive or Just Barely Breathing tour. Holy bejesus. That's like 100 years old.
It's got 2019, 2020.
Go to the actual tour page. There you go.
Your online activity is being recorded, right?
Sick. I hope they can buy me tickets. Yeah, tour. Up top. Big tour button. Oh. So he reached, like, because we're doing a show together at the moment with for Kevin Smith. Doing Kevin Smith's show. And he goes, hey, you do your PlayStation show? I'm like, yeah. So how come you spend like 20 minutes bullshitting about anything that isn't PlayStation at the start? Like, why don't you just make the show more general? I'm like, oh, no, because I want to do it and I want to talk about general shit.
Yeah.
Actually, go back one again.
No, they're not.
As in go back a page. So I think we may be thinking 2018, because there it is right there.
Maybe.
Australian headline. Parkway driving out 2018 national tour.
Last year.
Yeah.
What year is it now?
2019.
What the fuck happened?
It's August of 2019.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, anyway, you were saying?
Yeah, I was being older to concerts, pretty much that
whole
story.
Like the general podcast thing.
Oh, yeah, and he's just like, yeah, why don't you make the Players into a more like general form show, like the pop culture show or something? I'm like, no.
Oh. Well, no. Because we do talk about PlayStation eventually.
But it's also about us.
Yeah.
You know?
Come for the personalities.
Yeah, stay for the PlayStation. What else you been up to, man? Have you been old at any concerts lately?
No, I've been getting... Parents are away again, so I've, you know, businessman on the phones and and the bookings.
You're
and
adult.
Ordering parts and all that cool stuff. But in my small amount of free time, I have been making a playlist for Classic WoW. Getting a big, massive playlist ready. More to add to it when I get home because, you know...
We discussed
some things. We'll put it on Spotify if I can figure out how to do that because I don't have Spotify. But
you need to have a Spotify account. That's your problem.
I have an account. I don't use it. Anyway, so it's all like fucking All That Remains, Bullet for My Valentine, Korn, Mudvayne,
Limp Bizkit,
Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park, all that, Killswitch with Howard.
Atreyu? Were you a Atreyu guy?
I haven't gotten much into Atreyu. Avenged.
Yeah.
Trivium.
Yeah.
So
it's
like...
Any old Slipknot in there?
Basically a new metal.
Yeah.
Kind of.
New metal, metalcore.
Mid-aughts metal. Yeah. Early Slipknot, like Iowa and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the plan... Because Classic WoW launches 7 a.m. Tuesday morning.
And you'll be up for it?
I'll be up for it. I've got to get the kids to school, though. But
Kids are being dropped off at 6:30.
Launch day, it's expected there's going to be a queue to log in.
Of course.
So my plan is to log in at 7, and hopefully by the time I get home from taking the kids to school, I'm through the queue and then not log off
at all.
At least for launch week. Because I don't want to sit in. So I'll have to get like an auto clicker just to keep like jumping my character so I don't get AFK booted. It's exciting times. I've cleaned up my computer room.
Yeah.
I sent a photo last night. The desk is all clean. Got a nice big green plant there so I can pretend I'm outside at some point.
Yep, yep.
Room looks good.
It does look
really
tidy.
Tied it up. Yeah. Really, really nice. Cleaned out my computer. You know, did like a defrag. Did all that stuff. You know, I'm ready to go. Get this playlist done. Download a few movies that we're talking about. Underworld. Yep. Fucking Queen of the Damned. All that stuff from way back then.
All that teen angst comes
for the second monitor.
Back.
It's exciting. I haven't played shit though this week.
Yeah,
that's happened at time. I've been getting ready to play.
But something that is not PlayStation.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Who cares? Is this going to be a thing? Like, do I have to, like, helm the show for the next, like, couple of weeks?
It's going to be tough for me to come here next week. I will. It'll be hard for me to, like, off my computer chair. I may stank a bit.
I'll do the first ever Skype one.
Because I have the week off work as well.
Coincidence, you didn't plan
that. Was a coincidence, but then it's my sister's wedding the week after, so I've got to get my laptop ready to play Classic WoW. I can take it with me. I mean, we're staying in Lawn for 3 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be, you know, have the day with the family, but not time in the hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
fucking play WoW. It takes a long time to get you're to just level 60.
There, you're standing there in the brighter part of your eyeballs hanging out.
With my laptop. Yeah. it's exciting times.
It is.
Because you can log into the classic WoW server now.
Yeah.
Because you can pre-create your characters and reserve your names. And if you highlight enter world, it's got like an hour countdown. So now it's down to like less than 72 hours. And the subreddit's going fucking crazy. It already feels like a proper game community, and the game's not even quote unquote out yet. Mm. It was a very, I think it's a very different mindset of people that want to play classic compared to who play retail version at the moment. So everyone's just like, we're just real friendly. Like everyone's hyped, everyone's excited. There's no like negativity or anything on the subreddit. It's really good. It's really good.
Hell yeah!
I got 400 karma from one post, one comment on Classic WoW, talking about how you can level your fishing up. To 300, because it's a slog to level your fishing. Yeah,
yeah.
Because professions go from 1 to 300.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, if at level 10 you get 6 fishing skill points per level, when you hit 60 you'll have 300. And everyone's like, holy fuck, that's a great idea. I'm like,
oh, give me the cover.
That's my highest rated comment.
Nice.
Just talking about fishing in my
house. Dude, like, people keep yelling at me. Well, not yelling at me. I don't seem to be getting positive response. Because, like, I ask questions that I actually want to have discussions about. Mm. Like, with this week, they announced that WNXT is coming to TV. So it's no longer on the network.
It's going for 2 hours as well.
Yeah, it's going extended for 2 hours. Yeah. So my discussion was, yeah, look, we understand the wild card rule, which is this rule that Vince McMahon put in to be able to people go anywhere whenever they want, kind of ruining the brand split. I'm like, if the wild rule is still in place, which it looks to be that it is, come September when NXT's up, does NXT fall within the wild card rule?
Yeah.
So it's a discussion. Like, do you think it should? Mm. And if it does, how could it, and, you know, wrap my round this down, bro, like a motherfucker. I'm like, I didn't do it.
I'm just asking the question.
I'm like, let's have a discussion.
You've got to gauge what mindset the subreddit is in at the time.
Yeah.
If it's a new hot topic, don't even fucking talk about it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Just let it settle and like, then try to start. Like,
fucking this is an important discussion. Like, because having it be the, you know, the performance center, like, they can't just have them go willy-nilly because that makes them not performance center anymore. Like, the NXT is supposed to be like the tier before you go main roster, but they're all in the same tier now. What does that mean?
We're having very different Reddit experiences right now. I'm like, karma, and you're just like,
yeah, I was getting pooped on because I'm asking sensible questions.
Yeah, well.
Because I'm not like jerking some wrestler's peen.
Jerking your own peen to that particular subreddit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was a good subreddit.
Wrestle just, with the plot.
Yeah. Enjoy it?
That's good.
Yes.
Anyway, this is a PlayStation show.
Yeah.
So, Dylan Blight, we will get on to the PlayStation.
Yes, I've been playing a couple of things. I've been playing, obviously, well, there's a game we'll talk about in the main topic of the show, which is a game called Control. But I've also been playing a game called Erica this week. So, Erica is a game from a studio called Flavorworks. It's a full motion video game.
Right.
Like the CD-ROM games of old, Josh.
Yeah. Yep.
We started this
what
episode.
What was that one that was on Nintendo?
Night.
Really? Night something?
Yeah. It got re-released just recently.
Yeah. That game looks right.
Nightgown, Night Terror.
You talk, I'll find
it. Yeah, so it's in the same idea. So it's a completely full motion game. It's a nice, tidy 2 hours. So it's literally a
Night Trap,
thank you. So it is full on. It is complete, like, cinematic experience. But you can sort of change how you go. So this game shadow dropped over Gamescom, which means it just went, buff, there it is. Mm. It was originally announced in 2017 to be part of the PlayLink program.
Yeah.
Which I think the PlayLink program has kind of been...
Yeah, I haven't heard much about that recently.
There was a bunch more games supposed to be coming out, and we just haven't seen them.
But they tried. Hey,
get rid of
we've given Sony a lot of shit for like not doing anything. I completely forgot about PlayLink.
Yep.
They were actually trying something, quote unquote, innovative.
Yes.
And something new.
Mm.
So I don't think I really gave them credit for that. All the times we're like, Xbox is doing this and this, and what's Sony doing? Nothing. They were trying.
Yeah.
That's fine.
They've also caved on that, so.
Yeah. But they gave up after like 2 months, so.
Yeah.
Just like the beta.
So you play this, because it is, it does come from that PlayLink embryo thing. You do use your phone with it.
Yeah.
And it's all very, rather than
is it so there's no like dialogue on the screen?
There's
no HUD or anything?
No, there's no HUD. It's very clean. There's a lot. It's mostly motion. What you do with your thumb. There's no like, here's your four choices. You pick your choice. It's you use like a cursor. Mm. So the game starts with a lighter. You have to flick your finger on the screen to get right. to open the lighter and then light it, sort of stuff. So it starts as it's. There is a Let's Play on the YouTube now because we did stream it on Twitch this week and then I did put it up on YouTube. Yeah, so it starts kind of innocently enough. There's this symbol that this girl keeps seeing everywhere. Her name's Erica. And it becomes this almost like supernatural, paranormal, weird psycho thriller mm-hmm. for the 2 hours. And the best thing about it is there is enough branching nature of it that Dash, friend of the show, was watching the stream with me. He'd already played it at that point because I played it like 2 days after it came out. And he was like, I have never seen this.
Yeah.
Like, as in, like, the branch deviated in such one minor motion, mm. like, one minor decision blew apart the end of the story. Because, like, he's like, I did this and you've gone nowhere near where I went.
That's cool. Replayability.
And $13.
That's cool. That actually sounds, I might check that out.
Well,
I need a little thing to kind of tick me over to yeah. Tuesday morning.
Well, I already bought it.
Yeah.
And then last night, while at the concert, oh, it's a code for Erica.
Oh, that's nice.
You want a code for Erica?
Sure, I'll take it. Oh, that'll be cool because then next week I can talk about my my playthrough. I think my daughter will play it. That sounds something like pardon something me. She'd have a lot of
yeah,
fun
so
playing.
It is very similar.
She likes Until Dawn and all of that. And
then she will love it. You know She'll I mean? Absolutely love it.
Yeah, so I might have two different experiences to bring back next
yeah.
week.
Yeah. There is a British guy who kind of looks like Howard Jones, but like a thinner version. So I just called him Howard Jones because I remember the character's name. Mm-hmm. So I yelled at him, and then I referred to Rose of Sharon at some point.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, being young and broken.
I listened to that last night, actually. My mum's name's Sharon. Oh. Those lyrics are very nice.
Oh,
that's
very
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So that game's rad. And for a game that came out of nowhere, and it's I didn't have any performance problems with it at all. It ran really, really smooth for me.
I mean, it's a movie.
Yeah, because it ran like a movie. The only time it feels a little bit janky, but it's the same jank that you're used to from full motion video, is when you do the motion. It's very clearly they've done it in stop motion, so it has a bit of a shutter to it when you open a door, when you turn a door handle, or you spin a tap, or whatever you have to do. It's a little jittery just because of the stop motion recording of it.
Mm-hmm. So it's an interact kind of like Bandersnatch from Black Mirror.
I guess so, yeah. Movie. Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so like
that
you pick dialogue
did you
choice.
That?
No, I didn't. No,
it's
no I didn't.
I wouldn't call it like mind blowing, but it was cool.
Yeah, it's one of those things like saying that though, like because it does get into this conspiracy sort of story with the idea of this symbol and these rituals and what's happening in this asylum and what are these people doing.
Don't
and,
spoil anything.
No, that's all I'm saying. So like the more. I was intrigued literally the whole way through. Mm-hmm. Like it starts kind of slow and I'm like, where are they going with this? And then it kicks in and then you go, oh my God. And then like we had the whole chat and the whole chat was like, oh my God.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. It sounds fun. I'm excited to play
I'm
that,
super
actually.
Down for it. Yeah, it is out now. It's out on the PSN. It's $13 redos. Not too shabby.
That's true.
Yeah, look, even if you play it once for $13, it is worth every cent.
It's a movie ticket.
Yeah, not even.
And you're watching a movie.
Yeah, and looking at the trophy list, you're gonna at least need to get like three playthroughs to probably crack everything and do very specific things.
That's cool.
But it was very nice because like you don't pop trophies throughout, you only pop them at the end.
Immersion.
Yeah, in order to have not things pop up on your screen. Mm-hmm. So by the time you get to the end, it goes bing, 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 bing.
That'll be satisfying.
Oh, there's a silver in there. Oh, there's a gold in there. Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. But Eric is great. It's absolutely fantastic. And thank you for providing us the code, even though I'd already bought it.
No, thank you. I'll get onto it and I'll play.
What else have I been playing other than that? Mostly Control is probably the one I've been playing the most. Yeah. We have had some other things come our way.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be a Let's Play coming later this week for mm-hmm. one of those games. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can talk. It's embargoed.
Just play it safe.
We'll play it safe and say it's coming later in the week.
You could say it's coming at dawn on Friday.
It's not because I can't disclose the review date, the embargo date.
Oh.
Man.
That's not even. I was just trying to make, like, You know, play on words. You see what I was getting at? Yeah. That didn't work.
Look, it's coming later this week, man. Now it's time to get into the section where we tell you about what happened in this week in PlayStation News, and it is a section we call Inform the Players.
Did we both just freeze trying to think of something witty to say at the same
time? No, I was like, oh, I'm going to let this hang and see if anyone will click on what, like, the very horribly not subtle thing. We were like, let's give it a minute.
I will find out. If one of the seven listeners can figure it out.
You get nothing. I bet you it'll be Triller. Triller's always good. He's always there for the comments.
Yeah.
You go, Triller.
We'll see. Number one, Sony Interactive Entertainment has... I can't believe we're doing the news now. It feels like we've been sitting here for so long.
We have.
Sony Interactive Entertainment has announced that it has acquired Insomniac Games, the developers behind Marvel Spider-Man and Ratchet & Clank, as a first-party PlayStation studio. Insomniac will become the 14th studio in Sony's current lineup of worldwide studios development. Studios. That's a shit sentence. Quote, Insomniac Games is one of the most highly acclaimed development studios in the industry, and their legacy of best-in-class storytelling and gameplay is unparalleled, Sean Layden said. Continuing, we have enjoyed a strong collaborative partnership with the studio for many years and are thrilled to officially welcome them to the Worldwide Studios family. The addition of Insomniac Games to SIEWWS reiterates our commitment to developing world-class gaming platforms. You can only find on PlayStation. I like that satire link you sent through. Insomniac employees surprised to find they weren't already part of PlayStation.
Well, because the thing, Insomniac Games have had a connection with Sony forever. Like, they obviously with Spyro and then moving down, and then eventually they did step away and do like Sunset Overdrive and stuff like that. And
interesting did, Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah.
Who owns that IP? Is it Xbox?
Technically Insomniac owned the IP, but Xbox owned the console rights. So,
but
it will expire, and at some point Sunset Overdrive will come.
But also with Xbox being like, play our games everywhere, maybe they'll be like, yeah, check on PlayStation. Mm.
Cool. Or like, hey, if you pay us out.
Yeah. Yeah, but.
We have the agreement. You pay us out and it's done.
So that's cool, I suppose. I guarantee you they're currently working on Spider-Man 2.
It's a given.
Which is a shame because I was kind of meh on Spider-Man. I would much rather a new Ratchet and Clank.
But now they've got first party money.
Yeah, but Sean Layden also said later on that he sees Ratchet and Clank as going to be a staple as well, which is good because Ratchet and Clank was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
So this is cool. This is cool news. As I said, because there has been many attempts from PlayStation to get them get them first party. It's known that I think Activision had maybe asked for them at some point. I would assume Microsoft tried to get them on board at some point as well.
I mean, it's obviously Spider-Man that kind of pushed them over the edge. I think maybe they saw, you know, Sony probably dumped a fuckload of money into Spider-Man, and Insomniac were like, "This is first party money.
Mm.
Like, this is good."
Yeah. But the thing is, like, there's just something about Insomniac, and, like, everyone wanted to kiss her.
Yeah. Well, they make good games.
They do make
good games. So, I wasn't a fan of Spider-Man. Yeah. It was a great game.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It wasn't, like, game of the year material for me. I really, really enjoyed it. I did platinum it, so something.
What's interesting is how this whole Spider-Man thing with Disney and rights and all that is going to play into the game at all.
I don't think it will.
I don't think it will.
Seeing as the game is so separate from the MCU, I don't see it being a problem because it's still owned by Sony.
And Marvel did actually, I think, tweet at Insomniac congratulating them as well. So that's nice.
Yeah.
Insomniac obviously have a good relationship with Marvel themselves as well.
Well, of course they would, because when you turn around, you're, how'd the game go? Gangbusters.
Yeah, fucking cool. Amazing.
Yeah, so credit to them, of course. Congratulations from us, random fucks on the internet. What I want to know is how many dollars this went for.
Oh, we'll never know.
It would be tens of millions.
It'd be a lot of money.
Like, this is one of those things. Like, looking at, like, this is the thing. There is a nice right amount of confidence in Insomniac Games. To, like, previous years when they've been approached with probably substantial dollars, they're like, no. No, and I'm sure the next time was more, and they went, no. And then, like, we just released this gangbuster Spider-Man game. What do you got?
Yeah.
Like, we have blank check.
Our name has a new pedigree to it now.
So we have blank check.
How much are you offering? How much do you want? Because we want you.
And I guarantee that's how the conversation went.
No, very happy for them.
We want you on board. You name the price.
Happy for them. Happy for PlayStation. It's a good pickup.
Certainly could get.
Especially with, you know, PlayStation already have strong lineup of studios. Xbox has shown they want to try to start to compete with that by buying all these other studios, and Sony aren't slacking. So that's good. Number two, it seems Kingdom Come Deliverance and We Happy Few do not appear to have been officially refused classification in Australia.
Because, sorry, to add to this, there was this sort of rumour mill that we had an abundance of refused classification games in a short window of time.
Yeah, and we talked about this last week, so I thought it was...
Did we?
Yeah.
Sweet. I remember doing it.
Yeah. No, we did. Definitely did. Because Kingdom Come Deliverance was apparently RC because of implied sexual violence.
Oh, yeah.
And
We Happy Few, it was booze
something
and pills.
To do with booze and pills.
Ah, my bad.
IGN has been in contact with the Australian Classification Board and is awaiting more background on the matter. But the Automated International Age Rating Coalition, the IARC game classification tool, generated RC ratings for Kingdom Come and We Happy Few, but have both been amended and now reflect the same R18 plus ratings that were earlier applied by the classification board itself.
Well, this is on a good note. We talked about this last week, I think, as well. You know, this automated system, like how you can fudge this automated system. Next thing you know, Hotline Miami 2 is released on the Switch.
Yeah.
A banned game. Because of they automated system.
Mm-hmm.
And then the automated system comes in here and goes, And then they have to be forced to check it. And they go, oh, no, sorry, it's actually clear. My bad.
Mm-hmm. Also following up on last week or the week before.
And the week before.
DayZ has been reclassified MA15 plus in Australia, closing the book on a tumultuous few months for the game down under. This means DayZ is no longer banned for sale in Australia and you can buy it retail for PS4 and Xbox One later this year as planned. It was initially refused classification on June 4th, a lot longer ago than I thought, due to illicit or prescribed drug use related to incentives or rewards. So despite the fact cannabis wasn't even in the game as of yet, Bohemia Interactive committed to modifying the game worldwide to pass muster in Australia. The new rating applied for both local distributor 5-star games notes DayZ contains strong impact themes and violence, moderate impact language, no consumer advice for drug use is listed. So they just changed the game for the whole fucking world.
Yeah, there's that, you know what they did? Something they could have done fucking 2 months ago.
I don't
want to
get into this conversation.
No, just go something else. The thing here that does baffle me though, it went from refused classification to MA.
So that
completely skipping the R rating.
Yeah. I mean, you can, so apparently, you know, we can have, you know, violence, coarse language,
strong impact violence,
themes and violence, moderate impact language. That's only MA though. That's okay.
Yeah, it's not.
God forbid someone smokes a fucking blunt and has a good time. Fucking caving this guy's face in with the crowbar, but if you have a joint afterwards, get your fucking game out of here, mate. We don't want your trash here.
We don't have that here in Strat.
We don't like your coin. You get the fuck out. It's weird. Baffling.
Very weird.
Continuing to be weird, Sony's live-action Uncharted film has lost another director, making Dan Trachtenberg the fifth director to leave the video game adaptation. Tom Holland, who is slated to star as Nathan Drake, is still attached to the project. Deadline is reporting that Trachtenberg of 10 Cloverfield Lane has stepped down as director on the Uncharted movie. Sony is quickly trying to find a replacement. The report says a new director should be finalised by the end of this summer, America, and the film will begin early production next year. Just stop. Just...
Five directors.
Put a pin in it, put it on the board, go, let's get back to that at some other point.
Yeah.
Because now doing all this basically says this movie's going to be shit.
This is going to be rushed
now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's embarrassing as well. I think they should just... I still kind of want to see it. I want to see what they can do because they've opened that movie division for their video games. Like, I want to see what they can do. But in particular, this movie, I think they should just kind of go, we're just going to wait.
See, like, I can only imagine that a director would leave on two grounds. One being creative differences.
Mm-hmm.
Two, going, this is a hot mess and none of this is organized.
I don't want my name on it.
I'm out. Yeah, either I don't want my name on it or this is taking too long. I have another job coming my way. Yeah. I'm out.
You were meant to start 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
Still want to see it. Same as you, but just come the fuck on.
Top selling, 18th of August, 2019. Number 10, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Number 9, Mortal Kombat 11. Number 8, Days Gone. Number 7, Spider-Man. Number 6, Horizon Zero Dawn. Number 5, GTA 5. Number 4, Madden 20. Number 3, Minecraft. Number 2, Red Dead Redemption 2. Number 1, Crash Team Racing.
Interesting.
Quick bits. Final Fantasy VIII Remastered will be on sale 3rd of September. 1 week after Classic WoW. What the fuck am I going to do? And PUBG will be adding Xbox and PS4 crossplay later this year. So that's just another one to kind of tick off.
Yeah.
Apparently, I didn't put this in, but there is a supposed leaked image of a PS5 dev kit circulating.
Yeah, I have seen that too.
A game developer from somewhere, I forgot what, confirmed on Twitter. He said, yeah, this is a dev kit.
Well, we've seen enough dev kits in our time to be like, because you can tell it's thicker than it needs to be. Yeah.
It's got a bunch of USBs
in it. Yeah, weird V on the top for odd ventilation because I imagine there's probably a lot of hardware in there.
Yeah.
We've seen some other ones as well. We shared the photos on the socials a yonk back. There was controllers with screens in them.
Mm.
I don't think that's going to be a thing, but
could you imagine the battery life in those things?
They already suck.
Even with the light bar, they last like 2 hours.
A couple bits of news that I just wanted to throw in there as well before we jump into the main topic.
Yeah.
We did receive an email this week from Bethesda Australia talking about Wolfenstein Youngblood and their latest patch of 1.0.5. Now, the reason I bring this up is because it actually addresses a lot of the complaints that I had about the my review of the game X amount of weeks ago. So they've mentioned that they will be adjusting the difficulty of all boss fights, which is awesome because that last boss fight is fucking broken. Taking a variety of actions designed to reduce the feeling of enemy bullet sponginess, because no matter who you are, every fucking enemy just takes 1,000 bullets for no reason. Granting ammo for basic weapons after playing respawn. That's right. If you die and you need to respawn, you don't accumulate the ammo that you lost. You just get left with whatever's left. So if you die and you have 3 rounds left, surprise, motherfucker, you have 3 rounds. You have to try beat the thing you couldn't with the ammo that you don't have. That seems basic shit. Well, I don't know. I'm glad it's back.
There's a few games that do that. Like, you're fighting something, and you use all these consumables and all your cooldowns or whatever, and then you die, and you have to do it again without all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I couldn't do it before. How the fuck am I supposed to do it now without all this stuff? Yeah.
Adding some more special weapon ammo, adding duplicate tutorial laptops to game make 100% completion more attainable. So there are little tutorial laptops. You need to get all of them to be able to get 100%. fixing an issue that could cause an area to respawn enemies prematurely. Yeah, that happens. You wipe out an area and you go, ha, and then people just pop up out of nowhere and they just keep going. And you can, it's one of those. Like, remember the old Call of Duty, like World at War? Like, unless you progress, people just keep spawning. You gotta
hit that invisible checkpoint.
Yeah. And that's what happened here, but you are just in a courtyard.
It sounds like it. Like WoW. You know, you fight monsters, you go real deep into this cave, do your things, like, right, time to get out. Oh, no. And everything's
back
behind you.
And then increasing the speed of switch rates between certain weapons to make it easier to adapt to enemy types. Because that was the one thing it did do, because different, as we talked about in the review, each one of certain enemies have different armor and you have to use different weapons depending on the armor. Mm-hmm. And it was a bit like, because they're big heavy weapons, and it added to it, but it did also a bit of a problem. Is it got a date on this? Next week.
So they fixed the game.
They actually made the game what it should have been. So for that reason, only because I want those credits and I'm literally at the last boss, once this patch goes live, I will download it. I will boot it back up. I will finish the game. I will get those credits and I will come through. Mm-hmm. Big thing. Glad they fixed that, because every issue that I addressed, well, actually not, because unless they really rewrite the two characters, it would fix every issue. But in terms of its gameplay, I guarantee it's still going to be trash, but they fixed some of the issues that allow me to complete the game.
That's good.
Problem.
Right.
Finally, before we jump into that as well, something that that also did come my way, and I thought it would just be a fun bit of topic.
That's
of conversation.
Exactly what I'll segue in.
Oh, yeah, I'll let you segue it then.
No, it's okay. You already started.
Yeah, so an email.
Fuck me, I guess.
Yeah. So an email came my way from PlayStation as well, and it was called the PlayStation Father's Day Guide. Now, you and I are both fathers.
Yep.
You're a father of two.
Yep.
A father of one.
Yep.
So looking at the guide, it's got all the standards in there, like your PS4 Pro. We both have PlayStations, obviously. It's VR. We both have VR. Cool. And then there's like PS Plus and games and controllers and all these sort of things. And the list itself is pretty sick if you don't have those things.
Mm.
But like, we as PlayStation fathers, what PlayStation thing would you want to get? Father's Day.
PS Plus. I'm fucking sick of paying for it. No, but you know.
Yeah, mine just renewed on me.
It's the worst when it just renews. Yeah. And you're like, ah.
Do you play yearly or monthly?
For that? I pay monthly.
Ooh, I play yearly.
Yeah, but if someone bought me a year,
yeah,
it'd be the best. That'd be the best thing. Or even if the year's on special, which I think it is for Father's Day,
yeah,
get me two. I don't need another controller.
Give me code for this year and next year's Father's Day.
I don't need
Day.
Another
it's
controller.
Fine.
I've got a nice white controller that I really, really like. I don't need any peripherals. I'm set. I've had my PlayStation for 5 years.
Yeah.
I've got the rechargeable stations for the controller. I'm good. That fucking subscription, though... That's number one.
See, I love it. This is how we know where we are at as parents or as people is because it's like
as age.
Yeah, because
I want this game.
Can I have this game? I want this. Oh, can I also get this?
I
need a new controller. Like saying that, I want that purple controller like a mother. I'm just gonna buy it for myself. He's like, oh, this and this, and you're like, can I just have PS Plus? It is the socks of presents. Mm. And as you age, you are like, fuck, I need those socks.
Yeah, because like right now, my socks are horrible. Full of holes.
Yeah. I didn't have any.
My work socks, the heels are gone from like rubbing in the work boots. And I'm like, I need new socks. But if I can hang out one more week, it's Father's Day and I won't have to pay for socks. So like I said, PS Plus, as a parent, as a dad, take the financial strain off me. Mm-hmm. I've got bills to pay. I've got to do shopping.
That's it. And you're giving me free games for 12 months.
Yeah. 24 plus free games for 12 months.
James, if you're listening.
Your son?
Yeah.
Your 2-year-old?
Yeah. Oh. He watches the show regularly.
Oh, okay.
No, he doesn't. He comments all the time.
He definitely should not watch this show. Like when Alex jumps into the chat sometimes, I'm like, ooh.
I'm like, ooh, Alex, can you not? I'm pretty sure Ryan just said fuck.
I think I dropped like 7 F-bombs in the last 4 minutes. Anyway, basically, for Father's Day, all your retailers are going to have cheap shit.
The guy doesn't specify anything. I don't think there is a Father's Day sale per se.
No.
But it's more of like,
here's some ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Connect your dad. Connect your dad to PlayStation this Father's Day. Maybe get a game. Maybe sit down with them. Maybe
connect
play
your dad
along with them.
To PSN with the PS Plus gift card.
But look, if your father is similar to us and he has all the PlayStation things you ever need, why don't you recommend him a slightly above average PlayStation podcast?
Oh.
Give him the gift of two dudes talking.
Yeah, so recommend him the Explosion Network.
And then when he goes through their catalogue, give them Colin's Last Stand.
Yeah, yeah. If you want slightly above average, go to the Explosion Network. If you want just average.
Literally run of the mill,
we're
center.
We're right here every week, ready to go.
Ready to sort of deliver PlayStation news. Anyway.
Wrestling and music.
Oh, and wrestling and music and things that aren't related to
and
the topic at hand.
You guys better be ready for non-stop World of Warcraft for the next, 3 years. May have to do next week's episode as a podcast only.
Because you'll be stuck to the chair.
Because I will be killing boars in Durotar. And I need to stay ahead of the pack. Here's the thing. Where if... Everyone butt fucks the launch, right? Everyone's there. You either try to pull ahead of the mass or you're going to have a dreadful time.
Yeah.
So I need to get ahead of the pack, man.
So what we should do, in order to fuel this for you, maybe we just make, World of Popcraft. And, that's a much better name coming. And let you gush about World of Warcraft every week.
World of Cultcraft.
Sure. We'll think something.
It is a religion.
Yeah. There you go. Just, introducing the third pillar to the pop culturist, Josh's WoW show.
Because so far, I believe the only person in the community also playing Classic is Jess.
Yes.
Rocker Mummy. I saw her actually online.
Maybe you
she was online last night.
Maybe
so
you.
She's
maybe
getting
you
ready.
Maybe you and Rocker can do a show.
Yeah, maybe.
Jess!
I'm gonna be
if you're not watching, because I know you're not.
I'm going to... My goal is to really... Just for the initial launch week... to just stay ahead of the pack. After that, I don't care because everyone starts spreading out.
Yeah.
But you're all filtered into three zones for the first 20 levels and it's just a clusterfuck. So if I can just get a
little... Well, because if you can get 400 karmas on one fishing recommendation, imagine if the two of you had a show that was just all World of Warcraft tips and tricks.
I will be fishing because I'm going to be a hunter and you got to feed your pets, keep it happy. Otherwise, it runs away. So I'll be fishing to have a supply of fish just to keep it happy.
I have a thought you put into this.
My boar's going to be called Brisket.
Father's Day.
I watched probably last night with the whiskey about 3 hours of like WoW classic tips and tricks videos to try to get it, you know, things like optimal questing paths for the starting zone to get ahead of everyone, where you can die and spirit res closer to where you're actually running to save 45 seconds. I'm on top of it, man.
Man, if we were smart, we could have made a show out of this.
That's it for the news in World of Warcraft, as we have a chat to the players about Remedy's latest game, Control.
That's right. So big thank you to Reboot PR Communications here in Australia for providing us a copy of this. Control is the latest from Remedy, probably most recently known for Quantum Break, the Xbox exclusive. In this one, you play the character of Jesse Faden. You enter the FBC. This is like almost like a department of the government that works within the supernatural and the paranormal and that sort of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going in there to find your brother. In the past, some weird fucking thing happened in your hometown. In which the hometown's called Ordinary, which makes me giggle because like it's ordinary hometown. I'm like, hey, on the nose. Mm-hmm. So you go there to find your brother, because when this paranormal event happened in your hometown, a dimension rift opened and exposed you to this thing called Polaris. Polaris is this little thing that lives within you that tells you things, and it never actually speaks to you. It's kind of this internal. It's like a storytelling thing. It kind of pulls you forward. Like, there's always this blue little circle in the distance, and kind of keeps pulling you forward. And that Polaris pulls you to this building because it's like, you got to find your brother. Your brother's here.
Okay, so your brother went missing during
so your brother was taken
thing.
By these taken? Guys at that time.
Were taken by the FBC.
The FBC at okay. that time, right? So when the paranormal thing went down, he got taken away. And you've been spending time, this X amount of time, trying to find him.
Right.
So you get there, you get into this place, whatever. You find out that there is this whole fucking, like, almost a conspiracy.
I
keep
guess, it light right? on the light on the spoilers.
This is just when you go, then you realize it's not just an investigation. There is this connection to these alternate dimensions and all this sort of stuff, right? And at the you correspond with this external dimension thing called the board, and that board needs a director. And coincidentally, the previous director shot himself in the face, and you are the prime candidate, and you become the director. So you get given the service weapon, which is a very cool gun that does all the cool shit in the game, and then you proceed to go through this building to find your brother.
Is the gun like a multi-tool? You know, those kind of
pretty much. Things? So the big thing,
like No Man's Sky, you've got this, but it does this, and this.
So because all these cool things. So the service weapon is almost treated like it's alive. I say that as in, like, you hold it and then you go, and you spin it, and then it becomes a shotgun. Like, because you can upgrade the guns. You never actually are swapping weapons. You're using the one weapon with multiple uses.
I like that. That's
cool. Very cool.
What is the general gameplay?
So the gameplay, so it's third.
Just to say where I'm at with this.
Yeah.
I've seen nothing other than the launch
initial
trailer
from like E3 or whatever.
E3 2018.
All right. So it is a third person action adventure game. So, you know, there's a lot of over the shoulder stuff. It's
Quantum Break.
It is very Quantum Breaky. It actually almost is pretty Quantum, because you know Quantum Break had a lot of those live action sort of things throughout it. This does too. Okay. So a lot of the videos and stuff that you watch on a wall will be, you know, FMV.
But it's not like a half an hour TV episode.
No, not that. Okay. Thank Christ.
With Littlefinger.
Yeah. So as you progress and as you become the director, you start gaining skills like levitation. What's it? It's not telekinesis. What's it called? You can pick things up and throw it.
Telekinesis.
It is telekinesis. Thank you. Yeah. Sing and
back
then,
to Bioshock.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you. And then the ability to like dash and, you know, do all these cool extra things, and you gain more of them as you go. Now, that's not spoilers. There is actually a dead set of video on PlayStation's YouTube channel.
Here's all the cool things
you can do. Here are the five skills you can get.
Okay.
So you can kind of, it tells you what it's going to be. So there is this, the reason, one of the big things while you're there is this thing called the hiss. So the hiss is sort of this overarching enemy of Erith. So it is the thing that's possessing these people within this building, and that causes, that's the creatures that you find. Yep. So in almost Resident Evil fashion, everything takes place in this building. So the building is called the Old House. It's like the oldest house, I should say.
Oh, where do you live? The Old House in the Ordinary Town.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like the oldest house. So what it does is has all the different floors, and within those floors, there is no, like, uniformed size to this building, because the building itself sits within this mid-dimension sort of setup. It's almost,
it looks like a two-story house, yeah, but
it's almost like the TARDIS, as in it's fucked on the inside, and it's all these different shapes, and it doesn't line up to a general building structure.
That's cool. I like that idea. Yeah,
but I do love the whole Resident Evil, if it all takes place in this one building.
And eventually, by the end of the game, you know that building.
Yeah, so you know those floors, like where you need to go. It's kind of like, and you can kind of just travel through it. So
obviously, what you like levels or doors you can't access till you've got certain.
Yeah, so there are areas that are done by clearance keys. So as you progress further in the game, you can access whole new wings within that floor, mm-hmm. which is a lot of fun. So there's a little bit of not Metroidvania level backtracking. It's not like, you know, you're going to go in there and get a gun you couldn't get before, but it's just kind of opens new story parts later on. It forces you to sort of go back to old places.
Yeah, that's fun. That's good.
That's awesome.
Yep. I mean, everyone praised Resident Evil 2 Remake for that.
Yeah. So. Like, this is in terms of its scope, like you compare it to like the police station in Resident Evil 2, much bigger than that. Obviously, there's at least like 6 floors. Now, I've not finished the game right now. There are 10 big missions. Like, they're the big, like, there's a lot to do within those missions, but there are 10 big point missions, right? And I am halfway through 9.
Oh, you're almost there.
So I'm almost there. So I was hoping to have it done before we recorded this, but just with timing and like me, you know, working and going to a gig and then recording other shows, I wasn't able to get across that line. Saying that though, I will be joining Dash Culture on Monday, and I'll probably have it finished by then.
How do you find, like, is it presented as a horror title or a thriller? Or
Not really.
Murder mystery kind of thing. You know, what's the tone? Like, are you scared while you're playing it?
Or are you
pretty confident that you can, you know, take out the bad guys you have to?
So, like, there's no, like, I don't get any sort of fear or anything like that. The enemies seem quite confronting initially because they all have this red glow to them, so it's really quite jarring. And there's, I don't know, like, what feels like 30 plus different variants of these guys. Okay. It's awesome. Yeah. So there
but
are some.
It's not like you don't get horror vibes or anything, do you?
No, there's no horror vibes. But like, what's awesome about it is, if anything, I feel confident now. Because I've played it up to a point where I've now got all the skills that I need. I can just walk through and be like, because like, it's all about the balance, because your gun has not infinite, it has infinite ammo, but it's like,
it's got to recharge.
He's got to recharge, right? Mm-hmm. So you come in, you'll blast your way, you'll knock down everybody else to at least minimal health, let your gun recharge, and then you just start pegging shit at people.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, cool.
Let me turn this thing off. So you just start pegging like walls, and like, surprisingly, the world itself is pretty destructible. Mm. Like, it's not, you can't like, well, you can punch it and kind of blow it out, but like, if you run out of loose objects around you, it'll just start pulling walls and banisters and.
Okay, that's
so cool. That part's really awesome.
Yeah. How do you find the story and the voice acting compelling, serviceable?
It feels very AA.
Yeah,
because it isn't a AAA game, but it is very. It does feel very AA. So, some of the acting is not on point. It's not 100% because of the Polaris within Jesse as a storytelling thing. It communicates with her, but without a voice. So there's a lot of internal monologue, and there's a lot of her processing. Because she's talking to Polaris, and I think it is used as a way to deliver exposition
without the character
without like doing the Batman thing, standing on the roof of the universe. Like, you know, Batman's when he stands at the crime scene, just talks himself out loud like a moron. Yeah. So it's a good way to get around that, which mm-hmm. is kind of cool. This game is just fucking littered with lore in the best way, like. Normally, I can't stand reading shit. I can't stand it. But in this game, every time I find a little folder and it's like, ooh, you know, blah, blah, I'm like, oh, Mm-hmm. And like, I'm reading everything that's coming through. I'm listening to every audio tape because the world that they have built here almost exceeds the game itself. Uh-huh. As in, because they talk about the, you know, these items of power and these different things. So like things in the world that have these supernatural connection to them. Like, mm-hmm. as you said, like you find when you back in ordinary, when you do find this alternate dimension where you meet Polaris, it's in a projection. So each time you change the projector, it opens a new dimension portal. Ah. And then, like, and previously you find like a rubber duck that has this, you know, supernatural power. Like, you touch it and it opens like shit.
Sequel, maybe.
I think it's possible. Like, once again, I haven't seen the ending yet.
It sounds like it'll make a cool TV show, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Just like a Chernobyl thing. Mm. Like six. Fucking solid 1 hour episodes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It does have some cool, I guess, thriller is probably not the right word, but so when there are certain key moments where you need to go to access a different plane, I guess. So you there's these booths where you flick this light switch and then you end up in the hotel.
Okay.
And then you've got to like solve a puzzle within the hotel, and then you go back to a different location. You learn something you need to do, then you can return to wherever it needs to be. Those parts are very fun. There are surprisingly not a lot of heavy puzzles in there, but there are some. You know, whether you're in those hotel spaces and you are just trying to find the key to get the door out, you've got to like move rooms around, that sort of stuff, or have radios tuned to certain frequencies and stuff like that. It's very fun. But a lot of it's just like, hey, there's a power plug on the wall, can you find the big power block? Boonk. It's fun.
Yeah. Cool. Recommend?
Yeah, big time. Mm-hmm. It's although that I've also wanted to finish it for the review here, I have been almost drawn to this game this whole time. Like, I've been thinking about it. I mean, you know, I've been wanting to sort of like go over the line with them. Like, I just keep thinking about it. I want to play it. I played this to a point where, because I had no clients yesterday for one of my sessions, right? Mm. I worked out how remote play on my laptop works just so I can play control at work.
Nice.
Just because I'm like, well, my client's not here. So what I originally intended on doing this morning is not going to happen. Oh wait, fuck, I can remote, because I didn't bring my PS4 to work. I'm like, I can remote play it, and it worked almost perfectly. Like a minor input delay, but it's cool. There are minor boss fights here and there, it's just a harder enemy, and you do have to readapt how you use your powers to finish it, and that's a lot of fun, sort of reusing stuff.
Cool.
Trying to think what else I can say about it. What are some good questions? I keep talking about it. I love this game.
You've talked about it for like half an hour, man.
Have we really?
Just about.
Holy shit, yeah.
That's pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
You've covered everything.
Yeah. But in short, yeah, the game is surprisingly good. Only because I honestly I was aware of it. I didn't play Quantum Break. Well, I played it for a little bit, and the game wigged out at some point. All the lights just flashed immensely. I'm like, this game's broken, and then I never went back to it.
Fair.
I saw the trailer, and none of it really brought me in. I was like, it just looks like Quantum Break. I didn't really like Quantum Break. Okay. And then we got this email from Reboot saying that, hey, 505 got this new thing. Here it is. Sign this NDA, and you can play it. I was like, oh.
Okay.
Well, I'm not playing anything right now. Fuck yeah, sure, why not?
You sound like you're glad.
And I am so glad I did. Like, is it a God of War level stunning? No, nah.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is like, I think this game will probably get a lot of sevens, maybe some eights, mm-hmm. and I think that kind of fits. Like, there are some parts of it that are, but it's 100% an unexpected, enjoyable experience for me. Like, when I went God of War, like, I knew God of War was going to be dope. So, mm-hmm. like, and then, if this is the baseline, like, so I'm holding like shoulder height, right? So this is the base height for like from the table to here. This is what a game should be, right? We'll say it's there. That's the game.
Yeah.
God of War, as you play it, you feel that it's up here.
Yeah.
This is probably just a little bit above it. Like you don't because of it's not, because it isn't a AAA game. It doesn't have that grandioseness, but it still feels like a solid game. Like it feels like it's a, you know, in that double A bracket, it is a cut above the others. And I love it. And actually, the second we finish here, I'm going to play it some more.
Cool.
Get them credits.
Cool.
But let us know are you going to be checking out Control when it drops this Friday?
I don't know.
We'll get to that at the end of the show when we go through, when we go to drop. I believe it is coming out this Friday or Tuesday. I don't know, it's either Tuesday or Friday. It's coming out this week. Yeah, I highly recommend it. But if you have any questions or anything about it, drop in the comments below, or when we Facebook, that sort of stuff, and I'll happily answer any question that you have, because this episode is going up noticeably later in order to meet that embargo time. But Josh, Control is coming out this week, but it isn't the only game that's coming out this week. No. So let's take a look at the section that we call Coming to the Players. We tell you about what games are coming out this week. I'll have a drink.
Holy shit. This is a big week. Biggest we've had for a while. This week of 27th of August, you will get Agent A, A Puzzle in Disguise, PS4 Digital. The Bard's Tale 4 Director's Cut, PS4 Digital and Retail. Control, PS4 Digital and Retail, as Ryan just talked about.
Read the description out for me so we can make sure I've even nailed it right.
After a secretive agency in New York is invaded by an otherworldly threat, you become the new director, struggling to regain control. From developer Remedy Entertainment, this supernatural third-person action-adventure will challenge you to master the combination of supernatural abilities, modifiable loadouts, and reactive environments while fighting through a deep and unpredictable world.
Did I kind of nail it?
Yes.
Cool. Good. Oh, and there are some mild RPG elements where you can modify your body and your gun and stuff like that.
Hot. Kind of fun. Yeah, Crystal, PS4 Digital and Retail. The Dark Pictures, Man of Medan, PS4 Digital and Retail, out on August 30.
You read that one out.
So. The Dark Pictures Anthology is a series of standalone cinematic horror games. Each game features a brand new story, setting, and characters with a fully branching narrative. In Man of Medan, five friends set sail on a holiday diving trip. As the day unfolds and the storm rolls in, their trip soon changes into something much more sinister. Who will live? Who will die? It's all down to you, from the developers of Until Dawn.
Keen.
Cool. Until Dawn was amazing, so I'm really excited to see what else they can do. Decay of Logos. I thought I said Legos for a sec.
Ooh.
PS4 Digital. Headspun, PS4 Digital. I'm just going to fucking power through the rest because it's just bullshit. Hero Express, PS4 Digital. Hook Bots, PS4 Digital. Human Anatomy VR.
Sexy.
PSVR Digital.
Going straight for the peen.
Peen and Vagine. Invisigun Reloaded, PS4 Digital. Knights and Bikes, PS4 Digital. Legend of the Skyfish, PS4, PS Vita. Ooh, digital crossbow. I'll be doing a lot of fishing around. The Lord of the Rings Adventure Card Game.
What?
PS4 Digital. What? Okay, Hank Hill. Bobby. MXGP 2019, the official motocross video game. PS4 Digital and Retail. Didn't Monster do the motocross game?
I thought they did.
Was it Monster?
Yeah, Monster Energy Drinks. Yeah.
Newt 1, PS4 Digital. Pacific Wings, PS4 Digital.
Is that old ass like Atari
it
game?
It certainly looks like it, but it's not mentioned in the one sentence write up. Strength of the Sword Ultimate, PS4 Digital. Tokyo Chronos, PSVR Digital. Vambrace Cold Soul International, PS4 Digital. Waltz of the Wizard Extended Edition, PSVR Digital. Whipsy and the Lost Atlas. That is like Kirby on Ice, that character. Wreckfest, PS4 Digital and Retail. Drive Hard, Die Last. That's their tagline.
There's a bunch of shit. Control is the answer.
Control and Man Control. Of Medan.
Yeah. But yeah, so... before we end the show, do keep an eye out though. As we said, there is a unconventional Let's Play. We haven't done Let's Plays in forever. We just normally stream everything. But once again, due to embargo reasons, we're unable to stream this at the time that we'd want to. So we are recording it. So keep an eye on the YouTube, subscribe, all that sort of stuff, and see what happens.
Until then, that PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on
week,
iTunes, like Spotify, and other podcasters. Yeah, but by this point in the show, they already know that. If you'd like to join in future conversations, please join us on Facebook, Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
View supporters on Patreon, you can watch us record this show live. So jumping on at any dollar value gets a nice little sneaky link where you can
Except
come and watch
one.
Us. Except for this one. Where you can watch us record the show, join the conversation. Same can also be done for our wrestling show, The Young and the Wrestlers, which Renee Young tried to fucking peel for.
I did see that.
So Renee Young, commentator, WWE, she's like, oh, because the WWE are like, oh, we're announcing a podcast network. She's like, finally, I can pitch my idea of the Young and the Restless. I'm like, fucking hold it.
Do you have that trademarked?
I can't. Like, it's very expensive.
Not expensive for WWE.
Yeah, they can buy it out from under me. I don't have a case, though.
They could, scoop you in. Scoop you out.
Yeah, I'll suck some dicks.
Scoop you out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We've done like 45 episodes. We have some grounds to...
I'm sure.
We don't have it all. Those buys out in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
If you want to support us in a more one-side fashion, head over to popculturist.com/shopping by shirts like this and other assorted shit with our logos on it. We are also on Twitch, twitch.tv/thepopculturist. No idea what I'm going to stream this week. Originally was going to thought it'd be this other game. Turns out we can't stream that game, so I don't know.
Erica. Oh, you already did that.
I already did that one. Mm. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For The Players.
You think it's scary having Epic Games... No, Take-Two sending FBI investigators to a leaker's house. Imagine what Vince would send to your house.
Oh my God, just to shut
me
down.
To get your podcast name and shut you down.
What if it's the other way? What if he listens to it and he's like, oh, that's such good shit!
That Ryan, he's got good shit!
Oh, fingers crossed.
Can you, like, be a part of that podcast network?
I don't know.
Do they pick podcasts they like?
I think it's supposed to be based internally, as in like all the superstars and stuff would do it.
Well, that's completely unbiased.
I think they're using it as an additional way to tell the kayfabe story.
Oh.
I assume. Oh.
Okay.
Probably should stop talking now. For The Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast is fan-supported at patreon.com/thepopculturist. And we'd like to thank our Patreon producers and our Patreon founders for their kindness, their support, and their generosity. Our Patreon founders, Alpha Ferret, Craig O'Flaherty, David Chataway, Jesse Stevenson, and Jacob Garner. And our Patreon producers, AJ Abatomi, Damien Holdies, Carl Dunn, Lee Winterchauvin, Nathan Massetti, Paul James, Pure Mongrel, and Sean Levitt.